Hello and welcome to the Change and Transition podcast with me, your host, Crystal Deborah Ecoli. Now today we will be talking about reinventing yourself. And the reason for this is because we live in a world that is constantly changing and it pays to be multi-skilled and to be multi-talented. So for example, we all know that there's the growing use of technology and this potentially means that roles will disappear. So if that happens and your role disappears, then what do? Well, yes, you go and look for another role or you start a business or something like that. But in order to do that effectively, you need to be multi-skilled. So I've spoken with the amazing Gracie May, who I think is a master at reinventing herself. And you'll see how she's able to do that throughout this episode. You're going to really enjoy it. So as usual, sit back, relax and enjoy. So could you start by telling all of us who you are and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Gracie May, and my 9 to 5, I'm an IT project manager. But for my 5 to 9, I do a number of things. So I am a radio broadcaster with the Afro Nation Show, which is an Afrobeats program. I also am a podcaster like yourself. I run a wedding planning business. I also run the UK's largest wedding fair for Africans and Caribbeans. I am a PR and brand strategist, as well as obviously a friend, a sister, a girlfriend. Life is good.
Wow. So you do lots, basically.
I'm an entrepreneur in a sentence, in a word.
Wonderful. Okay, so as you know, this session is all about reinventing yourself, so that's why I picked you, because I've known you for known each other for many years. I've always been fascinated by how you've been able to do all these things, and I can only assume that, you know, you've had to kind of be different things in different places. So I just want to talk a bit about, I guess, how you've been able to focus, really. So, yeah, can you just talk about how you've managed to sort of narrow down your options as to what you do now? And, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah, so I guess if I go all the way back to GCSE, I kind of picked subjects that I was interested in. Unfortunately for me, some people might say it's fortunate, but for me it was a bit unfortunate. I kind of got A's and A stars in everything. So my... I guess if I was reliant on getting better grades to push me in a certain direction, that didn't happen for me. I pretty much got everything the same. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll continue to study what I enjoy. I ended up doing, I think, philosophy, psychology, English, art. I have like a crazy amount of UCAS points because I just wanted to do everything. Ended up then studying law, which had no, I guess, entry requirements in terms of subjects, which is great because it gave me the skill set to be articulate and to be eloquent and to be concise and to be quite analytical as well. After doing law, I figured that I probably didn't want to practice law. I don't think I ever wanted to be fair, but because I wasn't sure of what I wanted to do, I wanted to please, you know, my African household. I did try to practice for a year, and once I realized that it truly wasn't for me, I then went into project management. How I decided that I wanted to go to that, whilst being creative, whilst being a good speaker, as opposed to going straight into media, and choosing project management instead of going into event management full time, I want to tell you that it was like properly strategized and I had this whole plan, but not really. I kind of looked at law and I said, okay, what skill sets do I have? What pool am I working with? What do I have in my hands right now? And what can I hit the ground running with? And those things seems to be planning. God has given me, I guess, the ability to kind of pull people together. So I'm quite personable. And it just seemed as if project management was the best fit for that. And actually what you'll find is that with project management and with event management and with any kind of management really, you kind of need to be good at, with people, but you also need to be good at planning and you need to have good attention to detail. And with everything I do, those three things kind of stand out. For me to focus, I think is kind of a funny word to me, because when I describe all the things that I do, there isn't necessarily a common thread. The music businesses, if you will, have a certain theme, and obviously the wedding businesses have the theme of weddings, but I think I'm still monetizing my hobbies, and I've been fortunate enough to like quite a few things and been able to be lucrative with all those things as well. At a point in my life, maybe 2 years ago, I did try to whittle it down. So believe it or not, I was doing more.
Yes, I remember you did hair, yeah. Did a bit of youth work. Yep. So you have whittled it down a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, as much as I love giving back, I decided at that point that youth work wasn't for me. I was singing as well as part of like a gospel music agency. I was doing like digital consulting in terms of helping people with their graphics and their branding. So yeah, I've always been, I guess, an octopus when it comes to things like that, yeah. Having a lot of plates to juggle.
Okay.
And I've never been a believer in being a jack of all trades and master of none. I think you can be master of many as long as you are diligent in improving yourselves in those areas.
Yeah, I think you make a really, really valid point, because I think some people speak about specialising, so you have to pick one thing and then just go with that. But I think we're now in an age where I think it's actually safer in many respects to
be an all-rounder.
To be an all-rounder and do a number of things. So if something perhaps doesn't work in one arena, you can still make money in another.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. So, I still believe in the T philosophy, right? Where you should have breadth and you should have depth. So there should be some topics that you are an expert on, because similarly in this day and age, people are looking for experts. And a controversial thing that I guess I believe is, I believe in strengthening your strengths and partnering to cover your weaknesses. A lot of people say, oh, you should work on your weaknesses. And I don't necessarily believe that to be true. Because at the end of the day, in a crisis, you want an expert. You don't necessarily want an all-rounder, which sounds like it conflicts with what I've just said. But again, I started off by saying that I've got the three main skills, which is people skills, and attention to detail and planning. Mm. And again, I guess those would be my specialities if someone was to ask me.
Okay. All right. I think you make a really good point. So how have you been able to reinvent yourself to get into radio? So I know you were doing the project management first, but how did you manage to switch?
So I think with radio, the main idea is that you are broadcasting an opinion and you're keeping people entertained. Mm. Again, it depends on the type of show that you have. But by being in project management and having to speak to key stakeholders and do presentations and do pitches and, you know, do decks where you're presenting information of things that you've done, it gave me, I guess, the springboard that I needed to be confident in the fact that actually I am a good talker, I do present well, and I do have something knowledgeable that people would like to hear that does add value.
Mm.
I think we can't ignore the fact that obviously doing law allowed me to I guess hone those skills, and some things are just innate, right? Either you have it or you don't, and some things you learn. And I think I did have that skill set before. I've always been a talker. People know me. I used to get in trouble back in primary school for always being the person to distract everyone while my work was done, so I would stop other people from learning by chatting to them even though I had finished my work. And I think going through the educational route, if you will, allowed me to refine those skills, and the switch was a lot easier than I thought. Actually, I had actually started doing a YouTube channel, and the long story short is I was like one of the first girls to do a big chop about 10 years ago now, and the picture went viral. Loads of people asking me questions on why I did it, how I did it, how I was brave enough to do it. So I decided to start a YouTube channel to answer those questions. A radio station saw some of those videos because I started making a series, and yeah, I was basically scouted through YouTube. So it's always best foot forward. You never get a second chance at a first impression, and these guys saw me, they liked what they saw, thought it would translate well to radio, and here we are 5 years later, Yeah, literally, it'll be 5 years in 2 months.
That's very interesting. So it seems like you've always had a strong sense of your skill set, what you're good at and what you do, and you've been able to take those things and apply it wherever you go. But I also think it's really interesting how you stepped out and did something and then it's led to something else. So you were spotted. It's not that you were chasing after this thing necessarily, but it's something that you were able to do because you were already doing something and they could see the potential in you. Is that correct? Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, and like I said, you never get a second chance at a first impression, right? So, and you never know who's watching. Unfortunately for me, I had positioned myself and placed myself in a space that I thought was for me. And it just turns out that I was scouted for a space that was actually better. I mean, you know, sometimes there's that joke, oh, you've got a face for radio. Which is like, obviously, you're not cute enough for TV. I would like to think that I am. Yeah. But
you are.
Radio, it's less preparation and there's more freedom and you've got more of that direct contact. I guess with YouTube, you have to be visually and audibly appealing. Whereas with radio, if I decide I don't need to wear makeup today, then it's not the end of the world. So yeah, no, I love radio. I would encourage anyone that is looking to go into broadcast media to just give it a go, to shadow obviously and see what's required to be in that role. But
you never know. I might come down.
Yeah,
much.
Come on.
I'm actually gonna hold you to that. Okay, all right. So just moving on then from that, we may visit radio a bit later on in the discussion, but I'm just really curious about how you've been able to manage all of these things. So some of our listeners may be thinking, okay, I do want to reinvent myself and do new things, but how much time is this going to take up? I've still got a social life, I've still got to stay healthy, all of these things. How do you manage all of this?
I will say off the bat that probably do as I say and not as I do, because I admittedly don't sleep enough, I don't socialize enough. A lot of my friends have come to know that I'm there for the important stuff, but if it's you just want to come to my house and chill, it's probably not going to happen. I tried to be as time effective as possible, so I do keep a very strict calendar, which is funny to say because I'm usually overrunning from one event to another.
Yeah,
so people know that I'm usually late, and things come in last minute, and I guess my work ethic means that I probably should say no a lot more than I do, but I always see the potential and the opportunity and think, okay, it could lead to this. So I'm working on being not being such a yes girl, but in terms of balancing everything, it's time management. You have to know that you're spread across 8 businesses and you have to be very strict with your timing. So if today is the wedding planning business day as opposed to a radio day or vice versa, even if something urgent comes up, you have to be strict. And this is what I was saying about your strengths and your weaknesses. So again, I believe in strengthening your strengths and partnering to cover your weaknesses. So for all the ventures that I'm in or that I'm doing, I do have partners. I don't believe any of them are solo ventures, so actually I'm able to rely and rest on others. I'm not pompous or arrogant enough to believe that I can do it all myself, or that I'm the best and that I can do it all by myself. So on days when I am feeling a bit low or a bit run down or a bit spread thin, I do heavily rely on the people that I work with, or that work with me I should say, to make sure that we still do get the job done and that we still maintain a quality. At the end of the day, if you're trying to run 100 miles an hour with 7 different business ventures, yeah, it's impossible, to say the least.
Yeah, and I think you've made a really good point. I think sometimes people look at people like yourself who run multiple different things and they think, how are they able to do that all on their own? And I think it's key that people know that others are needed. So I think I'm glad that you've mentioned that, and people take note of this.
And I think just to quickly jump in there, there's one thing as well, if you feel like maybe your business is you, so it might be a personal brand and actually you can't You don't envisage yourself working with anyone else. If that is the case, then it's also important to have a good support network, someone that you're accountable to as well, that can actually tell you to sit down and shut up when it's needed, mm-hmm. or to sit down and rest when it's needed. I'm very aware that the businesses that I'm involved in lend themselves to working with other people, and that's not always the case. So yeah, it's also identifying trustees, if you want to call it that, like if you're going to use a good business term. If it's a solo business, it's good to have people that that you can rely on to be a support network outside of actually delivering whatever the business function is.
So find your trustees. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Really, really good point. And definitely something people should take note of. So my next question then is, yes, you do all of these things, but why? What's your why? What's your reason, in the words of Simon Sinek?
What is my reason? This is so funny. Why? I was speaking to a mentee of mine maybe 2 weeks ago. Oh, that's another thing. I'm a mentor. Didn't mention that, did I? And I was asking her the same question. So I usually, when I sit down with anyone that I'm mentoring or that I'm working with, consulting with, I ask them why 8 times so that they can get to the core reason of why they're doing what they're doing. And my reason for doing everything I do is to encourage people to reach their full potential. Now you're going to say, how do you do that with what you just said? So I'll try and quickly establish the common thread. So with radio, I specialize in Afrobeat, and the whole idea is to promote African culture and the perception of African culture, but also to connect diaspora back to home, wherever home might be. Out of the 54 countries in Africa. And I believe I am able to encourage people to reach their full potential by connecting with their identity and solidifying their identity. And you're able to do that when you're more fully aware of where you come from. You're able to know where you're going when you know where you've come from. So that ticks that box, tick. The same thing with PR and strategy. I'm enabling my clients to fully reach their potential. I'm encouraging them to reach their full potential by sitting them down and saying, okay, this is where you want to be in 2 years. How do we get there? How do we break that down? You've given me the blue sky picture, and I'm hopefully giving you the steps to get there. Mm-hmm. The same thing with weddings and the wedding exhibition. I guess if it's planning somebody's wedding day, it might be a bit of a weak link to some people, but for me it's very important. Wedding days are things that people have dreamt about from when they were young. Well, I'm trying not to generalize females, so I'll say people in general. I'm helping the couple reach the full potential monetary wise as well, to ensure that, you know, one, they're not getting bumped but two, to make sure that they're really happen. Yeah, it happens. To maximize the most of that day. And again, it's about maximizing and fulfilling that full potential of that certain scenario. And then if we go quickly to the wedding exhibitions, and I'll end on this one, we primarily cater to couples of African and Caribbean descent. So not only are we catering to, I guess, the black pound and the black economy within Britain, which is allowing those wedding vendors and those service providers to reach their full potential, but it also helps the couples that attend the fair to link and connect with culturally sensitive and culturally relevant service providers. Again, allowing their day to be less of, I'm having to explain, this is how we do it in our culture, to having someone that just knows, and having that. And I think people underplay how important it is to have people that are culturally sensitive in such private events. I know, I guess people look at weddings and say, oh, you might have, I guess in our culture, 200, 250, 300. So it's not really a private event, but actually it is. It's a declaration of love. And the last thing you want to be thinking of is, does this person know how to address my family on such an important day? Because that can cause rifts, which is just not needed on an already high pressure day.
Yeah. And I think especially as you are running so many different organizations, it's good to have a why and have a reason to do it, because things can become challenging at times, you know, especially when you're tired, and you know, especially with weddings, people can be quite disrespectful, to put it nicely. So I think having a why is really important, and for anyone listening, please have your why, have it written down, know what your why is, because it will pull you through everything that you're trying to do. So Grace, I'm going to move now on to radio. So some people listening might actually think, I want to be a radio host at some point. So with your experience, what would you say are the common mistakes people make when they're trying to get into radio?
Oh, there's a long list, but if I pick the top three mistakes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I guess people underplay how much practice is required. On radio we have this thing called dead space, like you can't have more than like 2 seconds of quiet on air, but you have to also sound like you're not rambling, you have to be informative, you have to add value with each link, you can't compress and try and add, you know, 6 different subjects in the space of 30 seconds. There's so much practice that is required. People just think you literally turn on the mic and you say whatever, you introduce a song or you recap a trending topic. It's so much more than that. You are required to, you know, not just do your homework and come prepared with pop culture stories, but it does require you to be at home and to do tongue twisters and to practice your breathing so you don't run out of breath on air, and to practice your pace to make sure that you're not going too fast or too slow, to practice your intonations to make sure that if you do have a long link, so a link is I guess allocated time when you speak, whether it's 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, you need to make sure that you practice your intonations so it's still engaging. You need to practice storytelling, because if you are recounting something that's going on, general affairs or any type of story, you need to be able to carry the listener with you. And it's also about, you know, not taking up bad habits. So if you say or and when you're thinking, it's about ensuring that when you are speaking on air that you don't carry those bad habits forward. But also the last thing as well is that a lot of people watch YouTube, and all the YouTubers start with "Hi guys" and radio.
Welcome to my channel. Yeah, I see that all the time.
Radio is very personal, to a degree where you're speaking to one listener. You always have to think, even though there might be thousands of people listening, it's that connection between you and the one listener, and they have to feel important as a person. It doesn't carry well when you're speaking quite generally, or when you're speaking as if you're speaking to an audience. Radio was designed to be quite intimate in that regard. So yeah, there's a lot of practice that I think is underplayed. So that's number one, practice. And practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. So make sure you're practicing the right thing. Number two, in terms of misconceptions, people feel like it's quite a lucrative occupation, and can you go to a national level, but there are loads of community stations where you're either required to pay to be on air through ads, or actually physically paying to have your show, and then you're able to generate income from sponsorships or from speaking engagements. But I think a lot of people think that you hit the ground running and you have these big celebrities that come, they pay you tons of money, and it doesn't necessarily work like that for everybody. So it's being conscious that there will be an investment in time and funds as well, because most of the community stations don't cover things like travel expenses. So at my station, I know that there were people that were traveling down from Cambridge, and the station is based in Ealing. I know people that were coming down from St Albans, and again the station is based in Ealing. And when you're doing that daily or weekly, there is definitely a financial cost that you might not see a return on immediately. But the two people that I've mentioned, one of them now presents for Blue Peter and is a 36th presenter, which is crazy because he will always be known as a 36th presenter. And the other person has a syndicated show on the BBC. So yeah, be prepared for that. And then the last thing is, it will come. I think we're in a microwave society where we just feel like everything including success is supposed to happen overnight. And a lot of people see where I am now and they're like, oh, Gracie, you sat down with Davido, or you sat down with Tira Savage, or as recently as yesterday, I was with Tenny. And they think I've just come up out of nowhere and I'm just this bubbly personality and I've just been able to get it done. But no, it's been, like I said, 5 years on radio, weekly practices, making sure that I'm getting the questions right, that I'm asking questions that the audience care for, but I'm also asking them in an engaging way so that whoever I'm speaking to engages in a conversation as opposed to a bullet point of questions. So yeah, those are the top three things that if you're thinking about getting into radio, think about how you would overcome these hurdles and whether it's a commitment that you're willing to put in, because it is a great job, don't get me wrong, but those are the three aspects that I don't think people really think about when getting into broadcasting, because it is just journalism.
No, not at all. I think people see the glamour of it and they don't really think about the work it takes to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, you've been doing this for 5 years,
five years.
But what do you think has made you successful?
Good question. I think with any business plan, you have to think about your USP, right? What's your unique selling point? And a lot of people think that they're unique. And actually, everyone is unique. But if everyone is unique, then that means we're all the same. So my USP is that I'm, again, what I've been able to do with event management and project management, I'm great at engaging with people. People warm up quite quickly with me. I can be silly. I have no shame when it comes to things like that. But I'm also able to know my level, if that makes sense. So if I'm speaking to somebody who's quite serious and quite stoic and quite formal, I'm able to match that energy. If I'm speaking to somebody who's quite jovial, who's quite young, who uses quite a lot of slang, again, I'm able to match that energy. And I think that's been able to set me apart because, again, knowing how to research properly for an interview makes a difference, right? But it's all in the delivery. And it's all in the eye contact, and it's all in how whoever's on the other side of the mic is able to warm up. And so my USP has been able to, hopefully, touch wood, maybe you guys will go and see or listen to some of my interviews and say, maybe she's wrong, maybe she's right. But yeah, I believe my unique selling point is being able to get people to warm and engage quite quickly, to have fun, and to really connect with whoever's on the other side of the mic.
I can agree with that. I think you are very personable. I think, you know, you get around people that you don't know and you're very quick to make them feel very comfortable. I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
Live and direct.
Live and direct. So, as you've been speaking, I've just been thinking. So, you've done quite a few different things. Mm. We've spoken about reinventing yourself. Mm. What would you say has been the most challenging thing about reinventing yourself?
Oh, growing pains. Nobody likes to think that they're not good at it, something, and then get it validated. Some of the switches that I've made haven't panned out. I haven't told you all the failure stories. I've managed to give you all the highlights. And actually, it takes a lot of time to look at your skill set and say, okay, what can I easily move into and what will take more work. And again, I know I've mentioned several times, I believe in strengthening your strengths and not and partnering to cover your weaknesses. But again, to be an all-rounded person, you do need to work on your weaknesses to an extent, because everybody needs a base. And I think you get a lot of knockdowns, you do get a lot of slaps, you get a lot of closed doors, especially in an era where everyone's worried about numbers. How many streams have you got? How many listeners have you got? How many successful clients have you had? How many weddings have you planned? How many exhibitions have you hosted? Everybody wants to see the proof in the pudding. And that's right. If they're going to trust you with money, or they're going to trust you with a project, or they're going to trust you with anything, they do want to know your success rate. But it's hard to have a success rate if you are in the middle of a transition, right? Or if you are reinventing yourself. So if I was to give advice at this point, it would be to believe in your source, believe in your sleigh, and to be creative with how you present your success story, because there are always common threads of progress that you can present to someone. It's about how you package it.
That's right. I completely get that, because as you know, mm-hmm. I was in law beforehand, mm-hmm. And then had to reinvent myself to now work as a career coach. Mm-hmm. And I've had to look at the similarities and then be able to sell those. Even though I had very little experience in the space, I was able to do it, which a lot of my colleagues may not have been able to do. Mm-hmm. So I completely get it. And it's painful growing, isn't it? It is painful, but I think it's necessary in order to go after what you truly want. And I think if you're not willing to go through that pain, then unfortunately, you might have to stay where you are.
And it's, you know what, and I get it, in this 21st century era where everyone wants a side hustle and everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, I think those that don't often feel sidelined. A lot of people are happy to just be in their 9 to 5, and I shouldn't say just, a lot of people are happy to be in their 9 to 5 and have that steady income, and maybe stepping out to own a business isn't for them, and I completely applaud people like that too. Because they will also have periods of change. They might have to change industry, change job, change role. So there is still a beauty in figuring out how to grow with grace, because I can't think of anyone that I've met that is in the same place they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing, I've heard this thing about being an entrepreneur and an intrapreneur. So there are people who work within organisations and they're making changes there. And you're right, everyone is different and not everybody can freelance or set up a company and grow it. It's everyone is different. Your skill set's different, your purpose is different. And I think we do have a problem in today's society where we are looking at the person on Instagram or the person we work with and thinking, oh, I need to do a bit more. So I think it is about just being very confident in who you are, what you're about, mm-hmm. and doing the best that you can.
Agreed.
Thanks for that word, Grace. That was a good one. So just because we're coming to the end of the session, I'm going to ask you a very random question.
Sure.
So because I think, yes, change and transition can be quite a serious topic at times. Mm. But I also want people to see the other side to the guests, that, you know, you also have a silly side or a fun side.
I have
both. Here's the random question, and I'm looking forward to hearing this. Yeah. I think I'm going to laugh. So what's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you?
Jesus. Okay, where do we start? The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. Okay, can I start by saying I have like a big fear of like thinking I'm on mute on a conference call with like 100 people, not on mute, and they can hear everything I'm doing. That hasn't happened to me, and I'm not even going to say it's not going to happen to me yet. I don't want it to happen. But so far, the most embarrassing thing. Okay, let me take it back. So back in the day, I used to dance. Obviously, me and Crystal connected back in the day as well, because Crystal used to dance too. Yes, I'm going to expose you. Yeah,
I love to move. I still dance today. I still do it. I love it.
But not choreographed dancing. You're more like center of the dance floor type dancing now.
Of course, yeah. Of course. You were at the wedding, you saw.
Yeah. So for me, back in the day, I was dancing. I think it was part of the Queen's Jubilee celebrations in Trafalgar Square, and I have a phobia of pigeons, but I had to get over it because we were dancing for the Queen, and I accidentally kicked a pigeon, and I kid you not, as we were wrapping up and heading towards the tube station to make our way home, a bird craps on my head. Yeah, and I am fully convinced it was the same birds that I kicked. I think they had memories. No one's going to tell me any differently. And so because I had braids in, I think at that time that people still wore bandanas, so I used the bandana to try and cover it up. And with me at the time, somebody tried to use tissue to try and like clean it out, but it just ended up like congealing with the poop. So I just had like bits of tissue and poop just stuck in my hair, hidden under a bandana. We got onto the tube. Somebody said, what's that smell? I also said, what's that smell? To try not to, obviously, you know, point attention to the fact that the smell was coming from under my bandana. And that's probably the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me. Yeah, but I got to dance with the Queen. How about that? Ooh.
Wow, that was bad. It went from bad to worse,
Kicking a pigeon is already bad. Being around pigeons when you've got a phobia is terrible. But then to get pooed on, no. And people say it's good luck. I don't believe in luck. I don't need that. Thank you very much. It's okay.
I don't think any good can come from that. None at all. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. You don't even want to know about the cleanup process.
Oh, thanks for sharing that. So just to finally bring this to an end, where can we find you and how can we keep in touch with you?
Social media platforms, you can find me at underscore Gracie May. That's GRACEYMAE. Unfortunately for me, you can spell Gracie 1,000 ways and May 1,000. But again, that's underscore Gracie May, GRACEYMAE on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Throw Beats Podcast. Again, we speak about African pop culture. You can find me on the Afro Nation Show every Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on Westside Radio. That's 89.6 FM if you're in London. This is westside.com around the globe. If you are getting married, feel free to hit me up on the socials at The May Comp. That's T-H-E-M-A-E-C-O-M-P.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Grace.
Thank you, Krista. Change and Transitions. It's been great.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share for more inspiring content. Are you unsure whether you're in the right career? Do you feel like you're stuck with the first career choice that you made? Do you want to build the right career for you? Well, I've experienced these feelings myself, but I've made the necessary changes, and now I love what I do. I'm an experienced careers consultant slash coach, and I can guide you so that you too can build the right career for you. The only question is, when would you like to start? Visit me over at varicoach.com today. That's Vorai, V-O-R-A-I coach.com. See you there.